Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
I should have been a great many things. Just because my dreams are different than yours, it doesn't mean they're unimportant. I want to be great or nothing. These are all quotes from the novel Little Women. This dialogue hints at some of the timeless themes explored in Louisa May Alcott's literary masterpiece, first published in 1868. The novel loosely reflects the lives of the author and her family through its main character and her three sisters. Little Women is celebrated as one of the most beloved novels of all time. And I'm sure you can say in the chat if you're watching today whether you've read it or not and whether you enjoyed it. Maybe you can say which one of the sisters you feel most like. Many movies have been made over the years, inspired by the wisdom found in this classic story. Today, we're going to look into the most recent movie, 2019's Little Women, Own Your Own Story. Director Greta Gerwig's adaptation of the story stays true to the original novel while infusing her own unique storytelling style. Little Women follows the lives of the March family, the mother, known as Marmee, and her four daughters in post-Civil War Concord, Massachusetts. Their father serving as a chaplain during the war and left the family in reduced circumstances. The narrative shifts between their childhood and young adulthood, highlighting their bonds and individual struggles. At the heart of the story is the main character, Josephine Jo March, an aspiring writer who challenges societal norms to pursue independence and creativity. Her relationship with her sisters, practical Meg, gentle Beth, and ambitious Amy, are at the heart of the story. The film explores their journeys. Meg navigates love amid financial challenges. Beth faces illness with faith and resilience. Amy wrestles with artistic fulfillment and financial stability, and Jo confronts her identity and ambitions in a male-dominated world. Central to the plot are the evolving dynamics between the sisters, particularly in this movie, Jo and Amy's rivalry, and eventually their understanding of each other. Little Women, Own Your Own Story addresses the themes of sisterhood, love, independence, and the obstacles women faced in pursuing their dreams in that era. Gerwig's adaptation received much praise for its fresh perspective, compelling performances, and narrative structure. Now, this is the third week of our At the Movies series, and the first week we took a glimpse at Inside Out 2, and Pastor Steve spoke on anxiety and joy. Pastor Vince encouraged us about love and forgiveness from the Hunger Games Songbirds and Snakes. Today's movie prompts discussions about identity and purpose, functioning like a modern-day parable, much like how Jesus conveyed truths through stories in biblical times. Our identity is fundamentally shaped by our experiences, our relationships, and our beliefs, and they form the essence of who we are. Similar to the March sisters, each of us is distinct, yet connected by shared experiences and values. We all navigate the complexities of identity and purpose in our contemporary lives. So if you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Susan McDonald, obviously one of the pastors here at the church, married to our lead pastor, Pastor Steve. We have been married, it'll be 34 years in August, and we've been here in BC almost, I think, 18 years. And we were just talking the other day saying that it was 10 years since Pastor Steve became lead pastor. So time is flying. When I was young, I lived in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I grew up in a house of five children. Now, I thought that was fun, but of course, I was not the parent dealing with all those kids. But I do have one sister, so I understand the dynamics of sisterhood a little bit. And my older sister, Paula, is a year older than me, and we always shared a room. We shared a room right up until high school. And so we were kind of always knew what we each other was up to. And my sister was always very visually artistic, like in the fine arts. So she could draw, she could paint. She's a writer. She would decide, I think I'm going to learn to sew. And she'd come home and like all of a sudden she's making clothes. She'd be like, I think I'm going to try to learn this instrument. I'm going to learn this. Or I'm going to learn that. She's just got one of those brains that can do just about anything. And I don't know if I was necessarily jealous of her or not. I don't remember being jealous, but I'm sure I probably was a little bit, because at that time I didn't really have any tangible creativity. And so I remember one day I was laying on my bed and she was sitting on the floor and she had a sketch pad. And this is when we were like mid-teens, I guess, and she was just learning to draw, teaching herself, of course, didn't need a lesson, just taught herself. And she's sitting there and she's drawing and I'm just watching her fascinated, because I'm thinking, how does, you know, when you watch somebody paint or draw and you just, and you're not an artist that way, and you just think, how do they do that? Like, how does their brain like do that? Anyways, I'm watching her and I'm just like admiring it. I don't remember, it might have been a forest. And she's doing this whole drawing, and so she finishes, and she's looking at it, and I think she's admiring it, thinking it's wonderful, but no. She takes the page, she rips it out, she crumples it up, and she throws it across the room, and I was like, no, wait, don't. I was thinking, man, if I had just drawn that, it would be in a gold frame on the wall with my name signed on it. But obviously, she did not feel that it was good enough to frame. Now, as I got older, of course, I did find my own gifts and creativity. But that reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures that gives us life wisdom for everyday living. And that is Galatians 6, 4, and 5. And I'm going to read it out of the message because it just makes it easier to understand. And it says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself, and don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. In a world that constantly urges comparison and conformity, let's look at four principles from Scripture that will help each one of us discover our true identity and purpose. First, embracing individuality. In Little Women, each sister embodies unique qualities and aspirations. As Meg says to Joe, just because my dreams are different than yours, it doesn't mean they're unimportant. God created each of us uniquely with different talents, dreams, and personalities. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Highlighting our spiritual identity, which is rooted in embracing our uniqueness as a gift from God. Instead of criticizing ourselves, or each other, we should marvel at how God created us all exactly as we are. Each person is uniquely designed by God for a special role in His plan. Our individual stories are part of God's great narrative. Celebrating our unique identity is essential in God's plan, where everybody is valued and cherished. Ephesians 2:10 reinforces this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. This verse underscores our readiness to fulfill God's purpose, uniquely designed for each one of us. Secondly, nurturing spiritual gifts. Just as Marmee in Little Women encourages her daughter's diverse talents and virtues, whether it's Joe's writing, Beth's music, Amy's artistic abilities, or Meg's nurturing nature, our gifts are meant to enrich the lives of others and glorify God. Jesus teaches that true greatness lies in reflecting God's love and values, and not necessarily in personal accolades or ambitions, even though there's nothing wrong with those things. It's about transforming our character and prioritizing others over personal glory. This, of course, challenges Amy and Joe's flawed idea of being great. I want to be great or nothing, they both say, offering a deeper understanding that we want to be rooted more in love, humility, and service. God calls us to use our gifts for his purpose. Galatians 6:5 tells us to make the most of our lives creatively, while 1 Peter 4:10 encourages our gifts to serve others faithfully as stewards of God's grace. We should embrace the passions and work given to us by God without succumbing to pride or comparison. That's not easy to do, but with the Holy Spirit, we can try. Scripture warns us against being impressed with ourselves or comparing ourselves to others as they steal joy and divert us from our true calling. Remember, it is more important to give your best than it is to always be the best. Thirdly, facing adversity with faith. The March sisters encounter numerous challenges throughout the story: loss, poverty, unfulfilled dreams, and sickness. Yet through it all, their faith and resilience shine. My one criticism of the adaptation is it does not focus on faith as much as the original novel does. But here is a quote from Marmee, the mother, from the original novel. And it says, "My child, the troubles and temptations of your life are beginning, and may be many, but you can overcome and outlive them all if you learn to feel the strength and tenderness of your Heavenly Father, as you do that of your earthly one. The more you love and trust him, the nearer you will feel to him, and the less you will depend on human power and wisdom. His love and care never tires or changes and can never be taken away from you, but may become the source of lifelong peace, happiness, and strength. Believe this heartily and go to God with all your cares and hopes and sins and sorrows as freely as you confidently come to your mother. On our own journeys, we will face hardships that may challenge our faith. We've all experienced loss. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. I personally, myself, 2 years ago, lost my older brother unexpectedly, and that was really hard, and a lot of us have stories like that. Financial loss, just so many different things. But the Lord really encourages us and gets us through those times. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Our identity in Christ anchors us during trials, guiding us towards growth and maturity. Christian author Bob Goff, and I just saw this yesterday on Instagram, and I was like, thanks, Bob, I'll throw that into my message. But he had a story that said, embrace uncertainty. Some of the most beautiful chapters in our lives won't have a title until much later. Love that. And finally, community and legacy. The March sisters find strength and support in their family bond and community. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to strengthen each other in faith and unity. Hebrews 10:24-25 urges us, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Our identity extends, again, beyond our individual. It is communal. Together, we will leave a legacy of faith and love for future generations. In a challenging world, let the church serve as a genuine support system, a true family. Let's stand by one another through life's highs and lows. And some of the wisdom we get from 2 Corinthians 1:4 is that he comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Today, as we wrap up our message, let's be inspired to seek and embrace our identities in Christ, celebrating our uniqueness, cultivating our gifts, and facing adversity with faith with the help of our church community. These are crucial steps in this pursuit. Remember, God has a purpose and a plan for each of us to radiate his light brightly and make a lasting impact for his kingdom. Our true identity and purpose, once again, comes from knowing our Creator, who designed us for a unique role. Real fulfillment is in aligning with Christ, not in chasing money, fame, or worldly success. And my last illustration from the movies, it wasn't in this movie, but it's my favorite scene from the 1994 movie, which happens to actually be my personal favorite version of this movie. But Jo is in New York, and she's sitting with a group of men, and they're all discussing politics and all these things, and she has all these great and wonderful things to say, debate, you know, as a woman. Oh my goodness, they couldn't believe it. You know, she had all these great insights. And one of them said to her, to Jo, "You should have been a lawyer." And she said, "I should have been a great many things," referencing the limitations put on women at the time. But I think we all feel like that sometimes. This quote highlights the misconception that personal achievement is defines worth, often neglecting humility and service. Jesus teaches us that true greatness lies in love, compassion, and humility. In Matthew 18:4, he says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Let's embrace our identities in Christ, celebrating our uniqueness and trusting God. Ephesians 1:11 says, reminds us, it is in Christ that we discover who we are and what we're living for. If you do not know Jesus, I invite you today to ask him into your life, to forgive your sins, and to be your Savior. You are so much more than your accomplishments. Knowing Jesus gives you a part in the greatest story ever told, and you can be an important part. Identity and purpose are found in Christ, offering a perspective of greatness rooted in spiritual truth and eternal significance. The Bible tells us about our identity, and I have a lot of scriptures to go with them. I can't read them all today, but if you want to jot them down, you can have a look yourself. But this is what the Bible says about us. We are a loved child of God. We are forgiven. We are a new creation. We are chosen. We are a friend of Jesus. We're saved by grace. We are victorious. We are God's workmanship. We are a child of light, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. These affirmations underscore the profound identity and purpose found in Christ, offering a perspective of greatness rooted in truth, spiritual truth, and eternal significance. When you are a child of God, you are a great many things. So let's commit to embracing our identities as children of God, uniquely created for his purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we ask today that if anyone does not know you, that they would ask you into their life to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive their sins, and that you would help them to face challenges with faith and courage and find strength in your promises. As children of God, we commit to embracing our identities in you and walking with purpose, journeying with faith, and knowing that you walk beside us in every chapter of our life. Amen.